All right.
Be seated.
I love being a Christian.
Amen.
And to love being a Christian, you must fall in love with He who the name is named after, Christ. I remember meeting my wife for the first time, and I sure liked what I saw. I was a college football player, came down and to Wells, Minnesota, and Calvary Baptist Church, and there was a cute little thing up there playing the piano, and I liked what I saw. She had long blonde hair, and after the service, somehow we went to their families to eat, and then after we ate, somehow she had her dad's car, and a couple of people went for a ride. And I just happened to jump in the middle of the car, let her drive. Amen. Simple as that. There's no reason why I did it, except that I wanted to get close to her. Amen. And little did I know that she liked what she saw in me. And she told her sister that she was going to marry me first time she met me. She bit her sister a bubblegum. That shows you how much I was worth, amen? I'll bet you bubblegum I'll marry him. And it wasn't long, and her dad came to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College and spoke at the chapel, and it was between break, and I was up in my room on the second floor of Pillsbury Hall, and I looked down, and here comes this cute little blonde girl who happened to be Marcia. I opened up the window and I said, "Hey, by the way," after that, they made a rule, no yelling out the window. So I did make it in the rule books, amen. And I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" She said, "Oh, I'm just here. My daddy's going to preach." "Yeah, right. She's just here. She's looking for me. And I think she's praying. That's why I was at the window, amen." It's usually the suitors outside. And he looks up into the castle and sees the fair maiden up there, amen? But it's opposite. But anyway. And didn't see her again until that spring at college graduation. Got to say howdy to her. And the next fall, she came to college. And the race was on, amen? And I'll tell you what, it was quite a thing to fall in love with her. And to... I had made a decision whether or not I was going to marry her or not. I was just looking for that chance to see if she'd be submissive. I know that's nothing to your deal, but it was for me. And I was walking across campus, and I hollered at her, "Hey, come here." And she said, "No, you come here." And I said, "No." And if she wouldn't have come, I would have married her. I promise you that. I'd seen so many situations that I didn't want that in my home. And that made me really fall in love with her that day. That day I determined I was going to go home. I worked all summer to buy a diamond ring for her, and then I had to work all year at college to pay my college bill. But I did get a ring for her, amen. First of all, in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, as Christians we ought to learn to please others and not ourselves. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please," what does it say? Ourselves. The Christian is indebted, or may I say, we are in debt to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please yourself. That's part of being a Christian. Look at the divine answer, verse 3. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." What a tremendous portion of Scripture here that teaches us how we ought to be living before the Lord Jesus Christ and before our neighbors and before our family and our church. Paul addresses the strong. Him, I suspect he'd be one of those numbers in the company. "May we also be found." It was those who were spiritual who are to show love towards one another. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. The big difference between the spiritual Christian and the carnal Christian, that it is very hard for the carnal Christian to be loving and forgiving. I heard a great sermon. If you get a chance, go into the leadership conference sermons. Brother Gibbs preached a sermon on pride, probably the best sermon I'd heard in a long time. And he talked about pride and about, as Christians, we with pride. And how that God hates pride. God despises pride. And boy, what a great message. Just a positive message on why that we should not be proud people. And to the loving and the forgiving, for the worldling, it cannot chew that nor stomach that strong meat. It only exists on milk and unskilled, and they become very uninterested quickly. Young Christian, he gets very uninterested quickly, just like a child. Let's go to, let's not really go there, but let's just in jest tonight. Think about, let's go over to the nursery. And let's put down a brand new little car in the toddler one nursery. Or something really shiny and ripped. And just lay it there. And let the games begin. Those kids will go after that thing, and I'm going to tell you, they aren't going to have it. Your daughters are going to have it. The boys are going to have it. Everybody's going to try to get a part of it. Is it going to happen? Huh? Well, just give it a few minutes. Then what happens? It's off to the corner. Nobody's playing with the stupid thing. What happens? A child is very interested. They tell me the child has about a 1.5 minute attention span, about a 1.5. And most adults, about 2.5. That's why people don't like to come to church. They want to be home changing channels all the time. Well, commercial. Commercial. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I'm looking for a changer that has four. I push it, and there's that one, then that one. I can watch TV, buddy. I'll tell you something. I don't want to waste my time. I want to get as much as I can in the whole thing. Amen. I can watch the mountain experience in Denali, and I can watch the fishing, the huge, what do they call them, monster catch, or I don't know what they call the thing. And huh? River fishermen? Huh?
Monster.
Monster, yeah, monster. And then the guy that goes, gee, 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 whatever that is, what do they call, Turtle Man or something like that? Yeah, buddy, that rednecking, buddy, I'll tell you what. The boys and I were watching it, and they were trying to catch bats and rats, amen. Boy, that was gross, amen. But what it illustrates is that we don't have much time to have interest in something. Show me a man that's working on something and he keeps his interest at it. Boy, he's got character. You know, it's time to go have coffee. It's time to this, time to that, and he stays right with it. That's a man with character. That's a man getting something done, amen. That's the guy that you want to hire, amen. You don't want to hire a guy looking at his watch. Everything is disinteresting to him except his coffee, amen. I had a guy come back to church today because he lost his coffee mug, poor guy. Not that I have anything against coffee, amen, and I like one right now. It is not bearing with the infirmities of others that Paul is speaking of here. They're just not bearing the infirmities of others. He said, young Christians, they're not interested in taking care of other people. All they're interested in themselves. You bring a baby home, Tucker. And that little baby of yours, all interested in eating and sleeping and having its filters changed. Amen. All cares about. As long as he's happy, she's happy, everybody's happy. But you let that little rascal not be happy, and nobody's happy in the whole home. Okay? And Paul illustrates that as a Christians. And I you wonder, where are you at in that ladder of life? Are you an adult? Are you a little sibling or a little child that just kind of sniffing a little baby that has to always have it go your way? Or are you there for the long haul and say, you know what, I'm going to try my best to look after others instead of having to have others look after me? In the ministry, we call those high maintenance people. There's a lot of high maintenance people, like Mrs. Olene Wiederich this morning. I told her, I said, I'll be there tomorrow at 6:30 at the hospital to see you go into surgery. Oh, no, honey, don't, preacher. You don't know. She's very low maintenance. Somebody call you up and say, I got a hangnail on my big toe. Could you come over and sit with me a while? And I will. Hopefully I can get her to grab a big pair of pliers and rip the thing off. You won't have to go to surgery, amen. It's like the old lady who was giving a testimony meeting. She said, I have always got a lot of help out of the Bible verses that say, grin and bear it. I haven't found one like that, but there's certainly a lot that kind of mean that, amen. I've always got a lot of help out of the Bible verse that says, grin and bear it. We need to grow up. We really need to grow up. It will not always go your way. It will not always go your way. There's always some real good, quote-unquote, Christian going to tell you how to live. And they don't even live it themselves. And there's always some people that are always going to tell you what to do. And you never find them doing it. So I like the scripture, grin and bear it. I tried to find it, but I couldn't. It's like the little California girl who was overheard singing. Somebody heard her singing this. When all my neighbors in trials are o'er. Why the Lord put in love thy neighbor as thyself, I have no idea. Especially the dogs that think your yard is the bathroom. We're apt to think of others' weaknesses and others' infirmities as a burden that we must put up with. But for the Lord's sake, our particular cross for the present is, God says, yes, we are to take care of the infirmities of others. Got a problem, I'm to be a problem solver, if I'm a Christian. I love being a Christian. Boy, I love being a Christian. But do I really love doing the work of a Christian? That's the question tonight. Do I bear one another's burdens? Paul wrote that to the church. He said, bear one another's burdens. And it talks about how that it's like a house on top of a boat that keeps all the rain and the wind away, and that captain and the crew can get inside that boat. How many watch that program called The Deadliest Catch? And the captain's in there yelling out orders, amen. The guys are being washed off the deck, snow and ice and all that kind of stuff. Ah, pick that up, you idiot! And on and on, you know. He's inside the bearing your burdens. Bear you one another's burdens. He's inside. He's warm. He's doing all right. The Bible says you're supposed to do that. What does it mean? When you hear about somebody, you take their side. No, he didn't do that. I don't believe it. Instead of saying, no, what else did he do? God's word here teaches us to gladly bear the burdens or take over as our own their infirmities. Take it on ourselves. Hey, you love being Christian? Well, then let's start acting like it. Yes. This is what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I'm always amazed that when I preach a sermon on Sunday, I live it the whole rest of the week. I live it the rest of the week. Bless God, the Lord said, well, you told him, now let's see you live it, amen. That's good preaching, amen. Rough living, amen. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look how our blessed Lord, this was his law. It was his way of life. It was his code of ethics. A prime example of how to live. He bore the infirmities of his disciples. Their infirmities of ignorance. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe. And Thomas says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how do we know the way? I don't know about you, but I'd like to jack slap him tomorrow. The Lord has taught him for 3 years. The Lord has been with him for 3 weeks. The Lord has given great miracles. He's healed the lame. He's raised the dead. I mean, he cast out the demon. I mean, he did it, and he told him he's got to go away to heaven. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know whither thou goest, and how do we know the way? And I know some of you parents, you've taught your children properly and well. But when it comes to push and shove, they go, huh? What? I don't know. I don't understand. And you go, oh, one of these days to the moon, you know. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? But look at how Jesus reacted. And by the way, I thought Christian meant Christ-like. Their infirmities of ignorance, their infirmities of unbelief, their infirmities of self-confidence, their infirmities of jealousy among themselves. Lord, we want to sit next to you. Their mother even got into it. James and John's mother said, hey, do you mind if my boys sit next to you at the kingdom of God? I think that probably arose a little bit of jealousy amongst them because they were kind of human beings, weren't they? He bore their infirmities until the disciples came into the state of loving trust in the Lord, which made even Thomas respond, let us also go, that we may die with him. And Peter said, Lord, I will lay down my life for thee. Our risen Lord set an example of such bearing. After they had forsook him, the disciples at Gethsemane, he came to the upper room. There the risen Lord appeared to them with this, peace be unto you. You know, if that was me, you bunch of idiots, how many times did I tell you? How many times did I help you? And I know you wouldn't do that. You'd say, peace be unto you. No, you'd say, I'd like to pull up my peace and shoot him, amen. I'd like to give him peace of my mind. But Jesus did not. Therefore, if that is true, and to be a Christian and love being a Christian and be like Christ-like, we must, what? Bear the infirmities of one another. People don't like doing that. Most people quote the scripture, do unto others, then split. Did you know Jesus never mentioned their failures? There's not one place in the Bible that never mentioned their failures. So many times we, I don't know where we get it. I think I know where we get it. It ain't from up there. We get this idea that we want to make sure we put enough people down, far enough down, that they don't think that they can get up. We're Christians. And there are sometimes things come up that we don't understand, or maybe a gesture that we do or something to say that people don't get us. I'm wondering if that's what David wrote. He said, forgive us our secret sins. In the fact that we didn't know that we sinned against a brother. You ever sinned against a brother and you didn't know you sinned against a brother? Hurt their feeling? Didn't know they hurt their feeling? And by the way, there's some people that got their feelings on their shoulder. You hurt them just looking at them. But what did Jesus say? Bear you one another's burden. The ability to manifest by divine grace in us to constantly and without end to bear the infirmities of others, to take thought for, to excuse their weakness, and to endure for them anything and everything. That's incredible. That, my friend, manifested Jesus Christ. That, my friend, wins the trust and devotion of our fellow saints. When we're willing. Hey, what are we here for? What are we really here for? We're here to learn to be more like Jesus Christ, amen? We're here to magnify our Heavenly Father. Do we magnify our Heavenly Father in our actions and one guy says our drama? Do we magnify ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it's amazing. One person can say one thing and it's cool. Another person can say something. Boy, you just hot as a hornet. You're mad as an old wet hen. I don't know what that means. My mama used to say, don't get mad as an old wet hen. What does that mean? Are we partial to some and partial? I think Jesus said, don't you be partial. Don't you see a man that is in goodly clothes, have him come to the front and see a man that's poor, put him down the bottom. Jesus said, you treat a man like everybody's treated. That's the right way. We see people coming to our church. Some come in rags, others come in riches. Some men come with rings on their fingers and boy, hey, good to see you. Some people just slide in, slide out. Who am I supposed to act like? Who am I supposed to magnify? Over myself, over my wants, over my desires. See, a slave has no agenda.
Amen.
He has no agenda. Paul said, I'm a bond slave. I was willing to put my left ear against the doorpost and all driven through it and to show that I am the bond slave and I never can be sold and I'll always be with him and I can never go free. I don't know about you, but you got a good master. Why would you want to go free? F.B. Meyer once wrote, and if you can find any book on F.B. Meyer, I'll take it and you can give it to me. Amen. In themselves, strong and free, the strong become the servant of the weak, as Paul, the servant of all. The natural man's idea of life is, I must please myself to be happy. Hear me? I must please myself to be happy. And pleasing myself is the exact thing I will do. In fact, each one of us will do unless we set out to persuade, or may I say, follow after love until our Lord comes back. The human heart hungers for sympathy. Woe is me. You okay? Oh. Sound like an old hound dog baying up a tree, amen. We want sympathy. I don't care who you are. We all want sympathy. Don't you look at me like that. You hurt your finger, you want somebody to say, you okay? The human heart hungers for sympathy. That has always made Romanism such a refuge, albeit a false one. The Romanists unload their stories of his sin and his failure in the ready ear of a father confessor. There are other religions out there in which their doctrine is just as misleading, confusing, deadly, and dangerous. In the 1900s, there's a group of people called Bachmanites. Bachmanism, they would gather together in so-called house parties or, listen to this, shepherding groups outside the confine of a local church. Remember, God ordained the local church to be the place of fellowship and worship. All God's people ought to say.
Amen.
And you can't do anything better than what God has set up and given the authority to. In fact, he even said the gates of hell shall not prevail against church. I think that's where I'd want to go instead of a house party, amen, or a group. They would come for a sole reason of share their most inner secrets, their sins, with their deluded comrades. They'd tell it all. They'd try to tell the worst of the things they were thinking or doing. Both Romanism and Bachmanites feel a great sense of release after their confession. The Bachmanites took great pride to make great parade of their testimony for those whose lives had been changed through the process of sharing their sins. But John Bunyan, in the 17th century, wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He gave the right name for Bachmanism, changing sins. That is, exchanging one sin for another. It is not by unburdening our conscience to our fellow man, whether priest or friend or church member, to give us peace with God. That is not where it comes from. Nor does our eternal safety come from. Our peace, my peace, and my place come from, my peace comes from a deep conviction of both guilt and the helplessness of my lost state, and the revelation to me by the Spirit of the shed blood of Christ as our only refuge and our only hope. I don't need to tell somebody about it. All I need is fall on my face before God and say, "Dear God, I have sinned. Forgive my sins." A lot of people out there think that you got to tell it to everybody. The Bible says if it's sin is secret, go to God in secret. But if it's open, come to the church. Say, "This is what I've done. This is what I've done." Christ, who bore God's wrath against sin, provided the only ground for the holy God can deal with guilty man. Therefore, resting in God's word about his Son, whom he raised from the dead, that is why I love Christianity. I can come to Jesus Christ. I don't have to come to some holy father and tell him what I've done. And then he scatters off to God Almighty and confesses what I've been doing. You are a holy priesthood, a particular generation. You have the right and privilege to come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have salvation through Jesus Christ and not from man nor men. Salvation does not come by confessing to a man. It is faith in his vicarious sacrifice of Christ. It was the ram for Isaac that was a vicarious sacrifice. The ram died and his blood was spilt for Isaac so that he could live. Genesis 22:13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Thank God, amen. Even the thief on the cross made no confession of his sins to a religious man. He made it to Jesus Christ alone. Christ bared his guilt. God put his sin away, placing them on Christ. The thief recognized his crime. He said to the other who was on the cross with him, "We suffer the due reward of our deeds." That was not a confession to. He admitted his guilt. He did not confess it to him. He simply handed himself over to Christ as he was. Miss Charlotte Elliott was visiting a friend in the west end of London. And there he met an eminent preacher, Caesar Millan. While seated at supper, the minister said he hoped that she was a Christian. And she took great offense to it and replied, "That was none of his business." Dr. Millan said that he was sorry that he offended her and that he always liked to speak a word for his master and that he hoped the young lady would someday become a worker of Christ. When they met again at a home of a mutual friend 3 weeks later, Miss Elliott told the minister that ever since he had spoken to her, she had been trying to find her Savior, and that she now wished him to tell her how to come to Jesus. "Just come to him as you are," Dr. Millan said. "Just come to him as you are." This she did, and went away rejoicing. Shortly afterwards, she wrote this song, "Just as I Am," without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, awaiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fear within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need is in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promises I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, of that free love, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height to prove, here for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I come. Yes, see that it, how the thief came to the cross, and just as I am, he cried, Lord, remember me. And our Lord replied, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. By the way, friend, that thief was never baptized. He never had the opportunity to join a church. He never had the opportunity to say a mass. He did not go to purgatory, but he went straight to paradise that day. And further, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was standing right there, and the Lord never mentioned her to the thief, but said to the thief, today thou wilt be with me. What do you say to that? The thief is a perfect picture of you and me as regards to salvation. All I am, this is who I am, and Jesus will take you tonight. I don't know about you, but I sure love being a Christian. Sometimes I do not exemplify my precious Lord. Sometimes I do not react and act like I should. But I will tell you one thing, I'm sure trying. And I hope that you're trying. And things come and heartaches come and things come that really are out of your control, and all of a sudden you have to be in control, or you have to control the situation. And sometimes we push the button too quick, amen. And we, fighter pilots, bail out when they think they're out of control. And they watch a $10 million plane go into the water. It's them or their life. And sometimes that's the way it is in some of our lives, isn't it? It's everything else or our life. And I will guarantee you, we like our life. We really enjoy who we really are sometimes. And may we as Christians say, I love being a Christian. I love being a Christian. I love my master, who certainly is a lot better than I am. That when people fail, he allows them to get up before knocking them down again. Or sitting on them. Or hog-tying them so they can't get up. I think sometimes we forget that we have a responsibility to bear one another's burdens to fulfill the law of God. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, there was a lot of things that really, there's a lot of things in my life that really needed a lot of help. If you're a new Christian tonight, you know what I'm talking about. If you're an old Christian, you really know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things in our life that we just cannot seem to get a grasp on. But I hope that tonight we'd take this message with us, that I love being a Christian, and since I love being a Christian, I'm going to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm bearing one another's burden. I'm not going to rip off somebody's head and spit down the bloody butt of it, or grab somebody's arm and rip it off and beat them over the head with it. I'm going to bear one another's burden. I don't mean let sin get away. These things of immorality and the things that are happening today, the child abuse and things like that, I don't mean that. That has to be dealt with. And there's laws in our country that says we'll deal with it. But I'm talking about things that are trite. I'm thinking about things just like this. I'm talking about people that just don't get it. And hopefully, we can help them get it. We can put our arm around them and I just love that. I think it was Brother Chappell. I'm not sure, but it was. I said it the other day. How you doing, buddy? And never see the guy the next week. And Sunday morning again. How you doing, buddy? He said, I don't want to be a how you doing, buddy kind of guy. I want to be a guy that says, what are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing this week? Hey, give me a call. And I've told that to a lot of people, and they seem to don't give me a call. I don't understand that. Hey, give me a call. Let's sit down. How you doing? No, I mean, really, how you doing? I'm your pastor. I love you. You pay me big money, so let me talk to you. You might. Free counseling. Free help. Let me talk to you. Let me help you. Last time I checked, my name's on the signboard out there. You don't have to do it alone. I may have a little bit of information for you to help you, to be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. There's just so much as a Christian that we could do if we would just bear one another's burdens. When I was in high school, I remember a few things I did. Stupid! Really stupid. I mean, stupid. You want to hear about it? Forget it. And I remember my pastor. He knew what I did. Put his arm around me and said, hey, Sheldon, he said, you ever want to talk, hey, Ron? He did not. Or somebody said, us Christians, we're the only army that shoots our wounded, tramples our wounded. I need your help. You need our help. Let's help you. Let's be a blessing. Let's be a help. It may be that you are wrong. It may be that you have the wrong idea about life. It may be that the world does not turn around you. It may be that somebody could do a lot better than you could. It may be that you really did mess up. It may be that you made a big mistake. But as a Christian, I'm going to go to you. I'm going to try to help you. And I'm going to be your best friend. And I want you to get around this thing. Because you're valuable to God. Look at your hand. Look at your hand. Nobody in this world has fingerprints like yours. Not a person. Not a person. It's a wonderful thing called DNA. All a person has to do is spit. Or leave some kind of fluid. There's only one person in this world that has that DNA, and that's you. Now, you have some other things in there. I can tell you where when you came from and you're a whole bunch of other stuff. But I'll tell you something. It's an amazing thing. God don't make junk. Amen. God doesn't make junk. And you are the way that God made you. Now, be happy about it. Smile. Be thankful. You certainly would not like to be like me. If there's one thing you learn from here, I love being a Christian. And if I love being a Christian, I am going to act like my Savior for I am to be Christ-like. I'm to forgive at the drop of the hat. Jesus, Peter said, Lord, how many times you got to forgive this? 70 times 7. And that's an active verb, which means once you're 144, starts all over again. Oh, good. I have not met anybody that has wronged me 144 times in one day yet. Close! But I haven't. Let's stand and be dismissed. It's about time we understand that it is our responsibility. He that is spiritual, restore. Well, I'm not going to tell. Well, you just told me something about you. Not my... You just told me who you are. He that is spiritual, restore. Be careful out there. The devil wants to destroy us.
Yep.
Look around here. There's a whole bunch of new people here. God doesn't want you here. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to leave. He wants you to get mad. He wants you to figure out somebody else gets to do more things than you do. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he looked at me funny. He cross-eyed me funny. He did this. She did that. Did it. So what? Life is so short. And you're the people saying amen. You're the people who have been doing it, amen. But anyway. That's right. You're the one, brother. Father, we ask you tonight to speak to our hearts. Help us to be more like you. This is, shouldn't be a difficult sermon, but it seems so difficult to preach tonight. I don't know why, but it, boy, it's like pulling out old barn nails. God, I love you. God, I want to be a good Christian. I love being a Christian. I love saying your name. I love telling people that I'm a Christian. Lord, please help us tonight to stay close to you and to bring honor and glory to your name, not mine. I'm only your servant. I have not to have agenda. It's only you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight. God's speaking to your heart. God's speaking to your heart. Why don't you come? Why don't you kneel up here in front? Get things, get it going. Serve the Lord with gladness. I love being a Christian. I love being a Christian. I got to act like him. Christ-like. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. No wonder you can't do that. Say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from God's Word. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to follow Lord and believers' baptism. Maybe you need to come join our church. God speaking to your heart. You come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to our hearts in such a way, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit is right there, right on mark tonight. And Lord God, I pray for our church. God, we could do so much for you if we'd really rally around you and put you first and not us. God, help us to be more like you. Help us to take on. May we assume responsibility to those who are in need. God, make us more like you. Lord, help us to grow up. And Lord, we sure love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we can be a Christian. To be called by your name. Help us, Lord, to be very careful that we do not defame that name in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Joe.